from KQED.
Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Supervisor Katie Tang, San Francisco supervisor, wants to make pumping at work easier for breastfeeding moms in San Francisco. She introduced legislation last month that would expand current law by requiring employers to provide a lactation space that is private, not a bathroom, has access to electricity, and contains a flat surface and a chair. Current law requires employers make reasonable efforts to provide breaks and a location for pumping, but doesn't contain such specific requirements. And studies have found links between early breastfeeding and health. Joining us to talk about this legislation is Katie Tang, and she represents the 4th District here in the city and county of San Francisco, which includes the Sunset. Katie Tang, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. Also good to have Julia Parrish, who is joining us here in studio, staff attorney for Legal Aid at Work. Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you both. And Supervisor Tang, let me begin with you. And let's begin by talking specifically about what this legislation includes. I think I've covered a lot of it, but also there's a form that would go with it for public health purposes that bosses would be essentially required to be accountable to.
That's right. And I think you did cover most of it, Michael. And, you know, really our goal is to support mothers who return to the workplace and who wish to continue to breastfeed their children. And most of the time, I think women don't actually have a choice but to return to work. So we really want to make this a normal part of the employment conversation. And so, as you mentioned, number one, we do require that employers, upon hiring new employees, as well as when an employee requests parental leave, that they actually have a conversation with the employees about how it is that they're going to provide that lactation accommodation.
Well, we got legislation here that would be the friendliest to breastfeeding in the United States of America. It's pretty strong, and it would mean also, as I understand it, all future commercial buildings would have to have a lactation space?
So all new construction and significant renovations would actually have to create a space as well. And we think that, you know, putting that requirement up at the forefront when you're doing either major renovation or new construction makes it easier for an employer to plan ahead for that space that can also be flexible for other uses when there isn't an employee who's using it for lactation purposes.
But you want to make it also easier for the employees because there's a lot of discomfort in asking employers, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, women, there's certain things that their bodies, you know, need and their babies need. And if you haven't gone through this process, then you really don't understand the hardships that women have to go through, not only this adjustment of becoming a new mother, but then trying to transition back to work and trying to provide for their child at the same time.
What about those small shops with barely the space to have for lactation or for purposes of breastfeeding?
We do understand that small businesses may have difficulties accommodating, and so that's why we require space versus a room. And so I think that there are many creative ways for smaller businesses to be able to accommodate, and our legislation really seeks to get them to start thinking about that. I don't think that it is so prohibitive, and on top of that, there are federal exemptions for undue hardships.
And Julia Parrish, as I said, is also with us. She's a staff attorney with Legal Aid at Work. The present legislation kind of, doesn't exactly twist arms, does it?
Well, it definitely enhances the current protections, but you're right. It's meant to be a tool to promote breastfeeding, to promote understanding and getting employers and employees to work out a solution when they might not have thought about it or been able to approach the situation before.
So a lot of people just don't know their rights here, though. Isn't that true?
That's absolutely right. I think that people so one of the innovative features of this legislation is that it requires a policy and the form that you mentioned before to really try to normalize this process. You know, moms often fill out a form about their leave and they get a written policy about that. And this should be the same idea so that it changes the tone of the conversation and societal expectations that this is a normal part of returning to work for a lot of new moms.
There's also been some addressing of the fact that this would indeed help the gap with lower income women.
I think that's absolutely right. I think that for most mothers who return to work, lactation accommodations is really an equity issue because if you have your own office, for example, then it's not a problem to find a place to pump. You can just shut the door. But if you're a low-wage worker or you don't work in kind of a traditional office setting, it's often a lot harder for you to find a place. So we hear from people who work in fast food restaurants who are too afraid to ask their managers to leave the manager's office, for example. Or, you know, there's examples of farm workers who get pop-up tents in order to do their lactation accommodation. So there's definitely ways to approach it, but it's not as clear a solution for a non-office type of worker.
Well, let me open the phone lines now and give listeners an opportunity to weigh in on this legislation, but also to express whatever concerns you might have or delights or any questions you may indeed want to express to our two guests, Supervisor Katie Tang, who's putting forward this legislation, who has put it forward, and Julia Parrish, who is a staff attorney with Legal Aid at Work. We invite your involvement in the program, and you can join us now by calling our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Please feel free to call and join the program. Again, the toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also join the program by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. You can go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. What are your thoughts about making San Francisco, well, the most lactation-friendly city in the nation, and also really requiring employers to do much more? It goes without saying that breastfeeding and breast milk do have a great deal to do with health, not only for the baby, but also for the mothers. There's data that shows that they are less at risk for type 2 diabetes, for osteoporosis, for ovarian cancer. You can just go through the list. But let me hear from you, our listeners, on this. And let me go, in fact, right now to a question from Beth, who says, as a former La Leche League leader, that's the breastfeeding advocacy group, I applaud any effort who supports breastfeeding mothers in the workforce. Would breastfeeding mothers at work have access to a small dorm-sized refrigerator for storing the milk, or would they need to bring their own small insulated cooler? Supervisor Tang.
Legislation, we do require having access to electricity, which could, you know, be for a refrigerator or for a pump. It's actually ideally for a pump. But the employer must also provide access to a sink with running water and a refrigerator in close proximity to the workplace. So that is something that it should be part of the conversation between the employer and the employee under this policy.
And what's the what's the status of the legislation now? Can you update
us? It is currently pending committee action at the Board of Supervisors.
And let me go to another comment from Brittany, who says, at my workplace, the mother's room was known for the napping room until I needed it to pump. And this was different to make clear to employees who were sick and napping in a place where I needed a clean environment. I suppose that could be a problem, Julia Parrish.
Yeah, and this law doesn't require that the lactation space be exclusively for lactation all the time, because a workplace won't always have a lactating employee like that caller. But when they do, it needs to be very clear that that is the primary purpose of the space, and all other uses have to be secondary to that purpose.
Let me bring some callers in here, and we'll begin with the caller from Hollister. Susan, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. I just wanted to comment about this because it's very special to me. My firstborn was born 32 years ago, and I breastfed him because I understood how important that was for his immune system and his physical development and our bonding. And I was really fortunate enough that the place I worked at in San Jose had a private room with a bench, with electricity, with a lock on the door where I could express milk for him. And I know that really helped him develop, and it helped me bond with him. And I think this is really important, and I really appreciate this program. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. And they were pretty much ahead of their time. You know, I'm old enough to remember when it was a controversy about women simply doing any kind of breastfeeding in public. I mean, it's not a problem anymore, is it, Julia Parrish?
Not that I've experienced.
Certainly not in this area.
I mean, I think people have different experiences, but that's also something that has changed culturally as we've kind of normalized this process. Most human beings in the world were breastfed at some point in their lives.
Most mammals.
So, yeah. So it's an important part of life. It's, you know, it's almost the most fundamental thing a mother can do for her baby. And I think we really need to be as supportive of that as possible.
Here's Lori from San Anselmo. Lori, welcome.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love this show.
Thank you.
And this is a great topic. I was just calling in because I had my kids about 25 years ago. And I worked for a company where I had to go in the file room of the HR department to close the door and to pump while I was there. And it was kind of the only place I could go, but they were great about making that available to me. And you know, I thought it was important then. I think it's really important now. And the more we encourage moms, they wanted me to come back early. I did cut my maternity leave short because they wanted me to return. So they were very supportive.
Well, thank you for that call, Lori. A lot of people with memories of breastfeeding back in the days when we perhaps weren't as enlightened as we are now. But let me get Julie on here, who I think is some pushback for us. Julie, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just question whether we need additional legislation. We already have legislation at the state level, and the company that I work with, I'm involved in ensuring that we have lactation rooms and that they're comfortable. And I'll take my answer off the air. I just really question the need for it.
Yeah, do we really need this, Julia Parrish, especially since we already have pretty much accommodations going on, as she said?
Yeah, there is existing law, but this does build and strengthen the existing protections by making more specific requirements for the space, including anti-retaliation, requiring a policy, having other enforcement mechanisms via the city. One thing that I found is that a lot of people, because they're unaware of the rights at the state and federal level, they never seek to enforce them. So unless you have an employer, like it sounds like the one that Julie works with, that's really proactive, without kind of additional protections and encouragement for employees to come forward, they're not ever going to access these rights. And something that the previous caller mentioned about returning from leave is a really important point, because the way that our laws are set up now, 40% of Californians don't have access to any parental leave at all, which means that a woman who gives birth usually has to return to work 6 or 8 weeks after she gives birth, depending on when she physically recovers from the childbirth. So people, especially low-wage workers, have to go back to work really early, and we have to balance that against the advice we're getting from the American Pediatrics Association and other health professionals that you're supposed to breastfeed until at least 6 months, hopefully a year. And it's really a tension that is placed upon mothers who are already juggling a million things. And this is an additional important step to support them in that.
There are mothers who breastfeed beyond a year, by the way. In fact, some of the La Leche League people think you should go pretty much into the second year, I think, or even beyond.
I mean, I think there's a lot of varying recommendations, but I think APA says exclusively for 6 months, hopefully up to a year, and then kind of at the breastfeeding pair's discretion.
Let me go back to you, if I may, Supervisor Tang, Katie Tang with us by phone. Adriana writes, I don't agree with imposing a lactation space on employers because it will inevitably be carved out of break room space or female bathroom space. I chose not to have kids. Why should my quality of workspace be impeded upon by women who made a choice to have a baby?
Well, she's certainly entitled to that opinion there, but as we said, it is space that can be reverted throughout the day and also after a lactating mom has concluded her lactation period as well. So certainly this is a conversation that we're hoping that employers will have with their employees to figure out what is that the right schedule to have for all of your employees who have different needs, whether it's break time, snack time, lactation time, all that should be discussed. Because you mentioned earlier a caller who had said, you know, why do we even have these requirements if state and federal law exist? Well, state and federal law are so vague and they don't provide specific details that really these conversations are not happening. And so, again, our goal is to really have that conversation going. That's a major, I think, achievement here alone, is to make women feel comfortable talking to their supervisors about this.
And here's a comment, something I was certainly unaware of. Steve writes, I work for the Oakland A's, and they just installed nursing suites on the concourses for fans and staff alike to use at any time. Let me bring in more of our callers. Let's go next to St. Petersburg, Florida, and welcome Michael. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. I work for the Florida House of Representatives, and, you know, luckily we here have, you know, we have extra office space and room if a woman needs to go and, you know, breastfeed her child or pump. There's that availability. And, you know, here in Florida, one of our big things right now is producing jobs. And in our current economy, women are a major part of our workforce, and it's all about teamwork. And when you're required in today's age to go back so early, you know, it really should be available for women to be able to produce the breast milk and make sure the proper nutrients are there for their child, if, you know, for them to survive and barely make ends meet and then provide for a child, and that's a business requirement, women should also be accommodated in this. You know, it shouldn't be a concern for someone who chooses not to have a child to go, well, my break room is going to be infringed upon. They don't know that. That's a fear. And even if so, you know, that's a working mother who's producing another member of society who's going to become a productive member of society. You know, we should want to make this available for women so that way more people can go back to work, so we don't raise unemployment and, you know, and cause problems in society. You know, this should be available for them. We shouldn't make it harder for women to come back to work. We should make it easier and a better assimilation process so that way they can come back and comfortably come back.
All right. I thank you for that. I appreciate hearing from you, and sort of dovetailing in a way. Kevin says, so where are the babies the other 7 hours of the day? Do these workplaces already have infant care facilities? Will the same allowances be made for employees of menial tasks, or is this just an office thing? Supervisor Tang?
Oh, no, this applies to all employees doing all kinds of different jobs. And, you know, really, I think that, you know, this legislation was inspired by my legislative aide who returned to work after a good, you know, maternity leave policy that we have here in the city. But every day spending, you know, 9 hours a day at work, for example, you know, being able to provide that breast milk for her daughter, I think that is something that she felt like, well, you know, I'm going to spend all this time at work. At least I'm doing something for my child, you know, who she fortunately has in the care through her mother. But, you know, there are many working moms who, you know, can't afford childcare, and breast milk, you know, is free. It is something that is nutritious and that you can provide free of cost.
Katie Tang represents District 4, San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and Jennifer from San Francisco is our next caller. Jennifer, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I want to say thank you. I think it's fantastic legislation. I do disagree that it's not needed. I think it's needed exactly for the class issues that were raised. However, I want to make sure that however employers are trained, that when they present it to people who are going out on parental leave, that there's no guilt attached, in the sense that there are many people who choose not to breastfeed or who cannot breastfeed, either due to medical reasons or, I mean, I work with a lot of transgender parents who can physically have the baby but may not be able to lactate anymore.
Are you asking how to write guilt-free legislation?
Yes.
Well, I don't mean to be...
That'd be nice. But when there is training to the employers, that they remember that it doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing thing, so it doesn't mean everybody who goes out on parental leave is going to want to use this, so that people aren't felt like others for not choosing or being able to lactate.
All right, good point. And Jennifer, thank you for that. It's also a good question. Let me go back to you, Supervisor Tang. Listener wants to know, will this legislation do anything to help people who don't have time allotted to them for pumping, like hourly workers?
So, this is probably a better question for Julia, but, you know, in terms of state laws and break times, this legislation doesn't impact anything in terms of the break times that are legally required that employers provide to employees already. But the legislation also doesn't say that you must provide it, you know, with pay or without pay. I know that there are some other advocates who would like us to go a little bit further, but this legislation operates within the confines of existing law around break times.
Comment from Ron, who says, back in 2011 and 2012, I was as sensitive as possible to the need, once even making sure that a mother had what she needed when a meeting room was needed. Then once I walked into an empty lactation room because I needed a hard-to-find space for a few minutes, the management came down hard on me. A year later, I was fired. You know, all kinds of narratives here, as you might expect when you're talking about breastfeeding. Let me get Daniel on there. Daniel, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question's kind of in regards to how this kind of legislation might impact the future fight for paid maternity leave that's federally mandated or state mandated.
Thoughts on that, Julia Parrish?
I think that they all support a general trend in society that we need to have better policies for working families. I think a lot of our policies, including the breastfeeding policies and paid parental leave and maternity leave, are way behind and reflect the way the workforce looked 30 or 40 years ago when it was common to have one caretaker stay at home and one go to work. And that is not the case anymore. And so we're slowly making progress to catch our policies up to the realities that families are facing. And I think this is one piece of that puzzle, but it absolutely doesn't replace the need for paid parental leave.
Let me thank the caller and go right to another caller. And that's you, Parvina. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you. I also wanted to thank you for having this show and just starting the dialogue about changing the culture around breastfeeding. I have three children that I all breastfed, and I'm a full-time working mother, and I work at Genentech, and my kids are bigger now, but I had just had to go to a conference in Spain with a coworker who has a three-month-old, and Genentech actually shipped out the cooler and the boxes waiting for her at the hotel, and so she was able to pump the whole time and ship it back and have it ready. And we also have breastfeeding things. And I also think, you know, I've heard a lot of talk about, well, this is, you know, a part of if you work at one job versus the other. But I think even when you work in it, the biotech or different industries, you know, it just depends on the employer. And I feel like it has a lot to do with retention and wanting to keep people at a place as well. If your employees are happy at any level, you're probably going to have happier, better workers. So that was just some of my comments.
All right. We thank you for those comments. And a tweet here. Let me go to you on this, Julia Parrish. A listener asks, the federal law has no teeth. Women can only recover lost wages of unpaid break time if employers don't comply. Will the San Francisco law be different?
The San Francisco law is primarily enforced by the Office of Labor Standards Enforcement, and so they'll investigate and they can issue penalties and fines and require employees to fix the problem. But it's not a law that's designed to be, you know, cost a ton of money to employers who are really trying to do the right thing. It's really designed to incentivize people and give them the tools that they need to make the changes that they want. In California, breastfeeding is considered a sex characteristic. So discrimination or harassment based on breastfeeding can also be sex discrimination. And that does carry a lot steeper kind of penalties under the law. And so it depends a little bit on the situation that's happening. But you should, maybe Supervisor Tang can speak to this better. I don't know that that's the purpose of this particular bill.
Katie Tang?
No, it is not. I think that Julia covered it completely.
Well, we'll get another caller on from Oakland. Mike joins us. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, I am a restaurant owner, and all of my space is already used up. What does that mean if I need to provide a specific space?
Katie Tang.
Yeah,
thank you for the call, Supervisor.
Thank you. Thank you. And so in terms of the space, again, our actual requirements are that it's safe, it's clean, it's free of toxic and hazardous materials. You have a surface to put a breast pump and personal items. There's a place to sit, and there's access to electricity. And then, of course, if it is a restaurant, then, you know, access to a sink with running water and a refrigerator in close proximity. And so I know that many small businesses feel like there is no way that they could provide even any of that because maybe their restaurant is filled with storage of food items and so forth. And I think that our goal is to work with our Department of Public Health and other nonprofit organizations to help provide that consulting services, you know, for free or at very low cost so that businesses can be more creative about how it is that they use their space. Because, again, it is already state and federal law that you must provide a space that is not the toilet. So they already have to comply in some way.
Well,
so,
what kind of space are we talking about? Are there measurements?
No, there are no measurements involved with existing workspaces.
So you could put somebody in a cupboard, for example.
I mean, they could, as long as it's clean, safe, you know, and all the other criteria that I listed. Again, there are many creative ways that we have seen small square foot restaurants or other businesses be able to accommodate.
But a request has to go through, again, the Department of Public Health, technically. Isn't that correct?
A request for simply
having a place available and allowing and accommodating?
So employers are just required to have this conversation with their employee, and then if an employee complains at that point, then it would actually go to the Office of Labor and Standard Enforcement.
Read another comment from Lauren, who writes, I'm horrified by the earlier caller who was more concerned with her break room than with the health and care of her colleagues. As a single woman who has also chosen not to have kids, the health and care of my coworkers is of utmost importance to my work. I am proud to support my sisters raising families. getting into some interesting issues here, to put it mildly. And generally, you think, Supervisor Tang, that there is going to be support as opposed to that kind of caller who feels, why should I be prevailed upon when I choose not to have children?
Certainly, I think that any laws impacting employers make some feel a little uncomfortable, but I think just from introducing this legislation, we have heard from so many women with so many different horror stories about how they tried to provide breast milk to their babies, that I think that, you know, it's time for us to make this shift, and again, to make this a part of the normal, you know, course of employment. So, you know, in the United States, we're actually very much behind many other industrialized countries in the world when it comes to parental leave and other benefits for new parents. And so I think we are actually just trying to catch up in terms of, you know, giving parents what they really need to better support their family. So I think we're on the right track here, and that we're all going to come around and look back to this day and wonder why it was so difficult to even have this kind of a conversation.
You haven't had any pushback from certain business people or?
We have certainly heard from businesses, small businesses and larger ones, you know, about the concern for these additional requirements. But again, we're doing everything we can to have from our city side and nonprofit partners be able to help support businesses during this transition.
Here's a listener who says, an advantage to employers who support breastfeeding women, the healthier the baby, the fewer days off for the mother will need to take caring for a sick child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's great for worker recruitment, retention. And again, happier mothers, you know, they will stay longer and want to produce more work, you know. So I think there's benefits all around.
Yeah. And let me get another caller on here. Colleen, that's you. Hi.
Hi. First time, long time. I am a mother of a 7-month-old, and I work in outdoor education. And I want to know how you can help support working and pumping moms who don't work in a traditional office setting. I'm often in the fields outside, and I have to pump in the car.
Can you help her, Supervisor Tang, with your legislation?
Well, I think that's the beauty of this legislation, is that the conversation, which is mandated, is so important, because then it forces the employer and the employees to figure out, well, you know, we might not have a traditional workspace, so how am I going to provide this clean, safe environment, a place to sit for you, and so forth. So so that's something we, you know, certainly we hope our legislation will help.
Well, we will leave it there, and I'm glad we had this conversation, and certainly we will continue to follow your legislation. Thank you, Katie Tang.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julia Parrish.
Thank you.
And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. And coming up on Forum, we're going to talk to Joseph Nye, Harvard professor, and the man who gave us the idea of soft power versus hard power, and talk about the Trump administration, foreign affairs, and much more. Stay tuned for that. It's coming up. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.